Hell Yes Life, episode 61. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. This is your host, Norman Bell, coming to you live from the Home Depot parking lot. That's right. Home Depot. Yeah, trying this location out. It's on my way to work and just wanting to get out a quick episode here. So today, I wanted to talk a little bit about, it's a little bit late to talk about this since it came out over a month ago, but I wanted to talk about The Last Jedi, the latest Star Wars movie that came out, I think, December 15th. So, yeah, gosh, we're like a month and a half, almost 2 months ago. So, you know, this is not a hot, well, it's funny because people who have passionate feelings about this are still talking about it. Most of the people who have passionate feelings about this are people who hated the movie and are claiming that, you know, the trilogy is dead and everything else. And I have some, you know, kind of mixed feelings about the movie, but I have one kind of overriding thought about this, which I'll get to at the end. And so I guess I should say at this point, gosh, if you haven't seen The Last Jedi and you're actually interested in listening to this, I would assume that I'm not going to spoil anything for you here. But, you know, as everyone else who's been talking about it says at the beginning of their episode, this is a spoiler. This talk will contain spoilers. This episode will contain spoilers about the movie. So if you want to go in and see the movie fresh, then go see it first before you listen to this episode. So I'm not going to go too into the different things that people had issues with. I'll just mention my experience. Well, one, and this is just a personal thing, the Last Jedi, I wonder how I'll look back at The Last Jedi, because it was really, it was a place of refuge for me during a very difficult time. I mean, if you've been listening to the last few episodes, you know that I've been, or that me and my family have been going through a difficult time. My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer in October, and she's now on the road to recovery and still has a long ways to go. But I don't know, there's something that feels different now about where we're at with things that could change. But the first 3 months of that were really difficult, and we had some other complicating issues on top of it, some complicating issues, let's just say. And so it was around all this, around that time that The Last Jedi came out, and I ended up, I've seen The Last Jedi now 6 times. And it's funny because the feelings I have about the movie changed a lot from the first time to the second time and so on from there, but particularly between the first time and the second time I saw it. So it's funny because I saw it on opening night. It was like Thursday night. I went by myself down to South Center Mall here, outside of Seattle, and yeah, I've been having a difficult day, and so that might have had some effect on, and it was late, and I was tired, and might have had some effect on my viewing experience, but basically the first time I saw it, I was pretty much in the camp of everyone that hated it, and I came out of there, I was just like, oh, that just, I was just like, that movie just wasn't good, you know, the plot lines weren't good, you know, it sort of felt like a bit of a, you know, a little traumatizing as a Star Wars fan. And I think a lot of the fans out there who are still raging about this maybe still have this feeling that, oh my God, you know, I thought we were done with bad Star Wars movies after the prequels were done. And Force Awakens seemed like, okay, yeah, it was sort of a retread of New Hopes, a lot of people were saying, but at least it was getting the franchise back on track and so forth. And a lot of people felt like, oh, this is just off the mark. And I felt that way too. And it was funny because Then I went back and saw it. Gosh, was it even just the 4 days later I went back and saw it? Or maybe it was the week following I went and saw it. And the second time I saw it, I liked it. I ended up liking it. I'm not sure that there's ever been a movie that I've had a, you know, kind of a complete turnabout as far as, not a complete turnabout. I get what people don't like about it. But for myself, I had a kind of a flip as far as how I felt about the movie. And here's what I noticed the second time I saw the movie. It was that there was one particular sequence in the movie, and if you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like it's this little side trip that Finn, the character Finn, and a new character Rose go on to this planet Canto Bite, right? And the whole sequence. Yeah, I guess I'm not going to go super into the details of the movie, but the whole sequence to this day, I still say that whole sequence needs to go. You know, there's an argument to keep it, which is, oh, they meet these slave children, and then that one of the, you know, they go back to that at the end, and that's sort of a key to the whole thing about now one of these boys, one of the slave children, looks like they have force powers, and so it's opening it up to, oh wow, there's a lot of people that could have force powers. I imagine I have a version of The Last Jedi where in my head, you know, once it comes out on Amazon or whatever else, once it's available for home viewing, I will just tighten up the movie. I think this will make all the difference for me, is if I can just eliminate that scene. I just don't like anything about the Canto Bite piece of the movie. It feels like it's a side thing. It's extraneous. I don't like the Benicio del Toro character. The whole code breaking thing, it doesn't, I get what the filmmaker is doing about these missions that are failing. Like the whole theme of the movie is about failure. It's about trying things and failing. And so that's okay with me that the mission fails, but I would just cut that whole sequence out. It's too on the nose for me. They're making comments about, the rich people that are benefiting from weapon sales and all this kind of stuff. And, I have feelings about that in real life. Like, yes, I think that that's wrong, quote unquote, that rich people are benefiting from weapon sales, but I just don't need a really on the nose sort of commentary about that in a Star Wars movie. So that's what I've discovered about The Last Jedi. I still don't like that sequence, but if I snip that part out of the movie, it becomes not a two and, well, let's see, it was 150 minutes, so that's 2 hours. Yeah, it's about 2.5 hours. It becomes, you know, closer to a 2-hour movie, 2 hours and 10 minutes, with that 20 minutes taken out. And the other thing about that part of the movie is then they keep going back to Poe Dameron, who's on the ship, and he's like repeatedly saying to Finn, like, come on, buddy, you know, we're waiting for you. Come on back. And they have to do that several times because they're in the midst of this little side adventure. That feels like it just bogs the movie down, right? So if I snip that part out, I notice that I like the rest of the movie, basically. And there's a lot of issues that other people have with some of the things that happen in the movie. And some of those things include, this is ridiculous. There's basically two things going on in the movie. Three with the Canto Bite sequence, but the two main plot threads are Rey is trying to get training from Luke, and Luke is just kind of giving him, you know, like talk to the hand, basically, like, no, I'm done with this. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I, a lot of people were like, that's not Luke. Luke's he's the last Jedi. He's the master Jedi. You know, they want to see him be like Yoda or Ben Kenobi and train Rey. I think it's okay. You know, it's basically kind of like it's counter to expectation. He wants to end the Jedi, and I don't know, you know, there's kind of, you know, it's sort of like, well, wait, what does he end up doing there? He ends up training Rey. He gives like a lesson or two. She ends up being a master Jedi anyway. And a lot of people have issues with that. And this whole thing about the Mary Sue, oh, she's, that really bothers me about the Mary Sue that people are talking about that. See, I'm a daughter dad here. I have a 7-year-old daughter, and I'm really happy that they have a strong female hero as the lead in the Star Wars movies, even though my daughter's not even interested in Star Wars now. But it's just, I think it's opening up this this trend, or maybe it's continuing a trend. Maybe it started with The Hunger Games. I don't know exactly where it started, but we're seeing more strong female characters, to the point my daughter even notices when we're watching other things. If there's a movie or a TV show that has a strong female character, she'll say, "Hey, Dad, that's a strong female character." So that is a positive. And as far as the whole Mary Sue thing, like, oh, she already knows how to do everything. Well, guess what? So does James Bond, and so does Indiana Jones and Superman and all the Avengers and all these male characters that magic, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Like, oh, yeah, he knows how to climb to a, oh, yeah. And then you're going to argue that, oh, yeah, but he's a master trained spy. You know, like, yeah, okay, we give men all kinds of passes on stuff like this because we just assume, well, he's a guy. He knows, I don't know, he just got trained to know how to do this. Oh, no, he just has inborn talent, you know? I mean, Luke in the original movie, okay, I'm going to go off on a little rant here, I guess, about this piece. Luke in the original movie, like, how long does it take for him to go from Tatooine to being the lead fighter in the X-Wing battle on the Death Star? I mean, just track how long that whole sequence takes. Like, he leaves Tatooine, they go to the Death Star, they leave the Death Star and go to the Rebel base. The whole thing takes a day, if that, you know, a day or two tops, right? So in 2 days, Luke becomes this master of the Force that he can use to blow up the Death Star. So I just, that whole thing just bothers me. It's just because white males are threatened by the, this whole inclusivity, i.e. I'm a white male, by the way, in case you don't know who I am. And, but I'm a liberal leaning white male. And so I think it's great. I think it's great that there's female leads. I love that there's an African-American man who's in the Star Wars movies as a lead character, and the diversity in there. And yes, they upped the diversity in the Last Jedi, and a lot of people have issues with that. There's kind of veiled comments about, like, oh, social justice warrior Star Wars, etc. Well, get used to it, guys. You know, guess what? White males are a diminishing minority on the planet. Stop identifying so strongly with your race and your gender. Big deal that you happen to be born white and male, and just get over it. All right. So, okay, I'll probably rant about that another time. More about that. Okay. So there's that whole side plot about Rey and Luke, and some people had issues with that. The other side plot is the Empire is chasing the rebels, or not the rebels, the resistance. Okay, there's a little bit of a joke there too, like, oh, the Empire / First Order, the rebels / resistance. It's you know, obviously it's kind of interchangeable, and a little bit of a little bit humorous that everything's so similar, right? But hey, you know, we all want that Star Wars feeling. And so that's what they're trying to give us. And there you go. So take it or leave it, I guess. But the plot is basically they have this battle at the beginning, and then the First Order ships are chasing the Resistance ships. And it just so happens that the Resistance ships are just fast enough to stay out of range of the First Order's ships. And so somebody was comparing this. It's like, oh, it's a slow motion chase in space where one entity is going 40 miles an hour and the other entity is going 39 miles an hour. And when you look at it, it's just kind of ridiculous, right? But and the first time I saw it, I was like, this is ridiculous. This is just, and it was taking me out, right? So, you know, there's something to be said for that, that if a plot element is taking you out of the movie and you're, it's just too much. It's just too ridiculous. It's called the suspension of disbelief, right? So when we're watching movies and we watch Tom Cruise climbing the tallest skyscraper in Dubai and you're like, come on, you know, but for whatever reason, you're just going with it, right? So you're either going to go with this or you're not going to go with it. And the first time I saw this, I was not going with it. I was like, oh, Jesus. Yeah. But the second time I saw it, for whatever reason, I just kind of got caught up in the emotion of the movie. And I just went with it. And there's plenty of things in The Last Jedi that are like that, right? And people, and this is the problem, is once one of the things gets under your skin, then you start to notice across the board, wait a second, how could bombs, you know, and there's a first battle that they have, and they have these bombers, and these bombs are dropping out of the bomber spaceships. And people are just getting up all up about like, well, wait, they're in space. How could bombs drop in space? They've come out with an explanation about that. There's like magnetic something that's drawing them to the ships, but who cares, right? Like nobody's questioned the fact that space battles as they happen in Star Wars, they couldn't happen that way at all anyway. I mean, there's plenty of scientific stuff that is disregarded by the Star Wars series in general anyway. I was just watching Rogue One, and there's some point at the end where Darth Vader is, you know, these guys are trying to get the plans away from Darth Vader, and finally this ship takes off, and Darth Vader's just standing on the edge of the ship, like it's open to space, and he's just standing there looking at the ship going, "Arr, they got away." Like, he couldn't just stand there. He'd be like floating away, or he'd have problems breathing or whatever else. So like, why do we give some things a pass and other things not? Again, I'm not telling you, if you didn't like The Last Jedi, that you should. I'm just pointing things out from my perspective. Okay, so then what else? Okay, then at the end of the movie, I get this. I didn't like this either the first time I saw it. And it's another one of those things where I just kind of gave it up for some reason. You know, you sometimes when you see a movie or a TV show, you just go like, well, you know, I don't know why that did that, but I'm just going with it. And other times not. And maybe there's something they could have done to set this up a little bit better, because it sort of took people and me too. The first time I saw it, I was like, what is going on? And that would be the force projection thing that Luke does at the end of the movie. He has this standoff with Kylo Ren, and this was another thing about this scene that I've watched it multiple times. Like, if his whole goal was to have just buy time for the resistance group to get away, then he probably should have said, as he was walking out there, he's like, hey, this would ruin the effect of this, but you know, he should have said, hey, I'm just doing this to buy time so you guys can get away, because they stand there for half the sequence just watching him, and then Poe has to Poe has to figure it out that, wait, he's just doing this to buy us time, let's go. You know, they've already lost quite a bit of time. But hey, you know, it's like, hey, it's a movie, right? So anyway, he goes out there and he has a little, you know, kind of a confrontation with Kylo Ren and the I guess they call them AT-ATs. I had been calling them AT-ATs in my youth or whatever. But they shoot at Luke, and they're, no, he's still there. And then he comes down to battle him. And oh, wait, now he discovers, the big revelation is that it's a hologram basically of Luke, and he's been projecting himself, I guess, like, is that an astral projection? I don't know. From across space, from Act Two or whatever the name of the planet is that he's been on. And whew, he projected himself. You know, when I first, there's a couple of things that happen. I remember in the theater when he says, take it, you know, see you around, kid. And then he disappears. People were like, whoa, and clapping and so forth. And then, you know, so it's sort of a mix of like, oh, he pulled this trick on him. And then they're sort of like, wait, what did he do? And then it shows him on Act Two, and he's like, oh, he's exhausted from doing that. And it was sort of like, okay, oh, wow, okay, he pulled this trick on him. And then there's another thing that people have an issue with is that then a couple minutes, you know, a minute later, he's like, oh, and then he dies and he disappears. And people are like, oh, my God, that killed Luke Skywalker? That's how Luke Skywalker dies? Oh, my God, ah, you know. So it's just one of those things. It's yet another one of those things that you either just go with or you don't. And so I guess my overall feeling about the movie is it. Oh, I mean, let me just say this. I think there's some really great stuff in the movie. I thought that the opening, if you take away the, you know, if I'm continuing to suspend my disbelief, then I thought that the opening battle was great, you know, a great Star Wars. People had problems with this little joke that Poe has with the that was another thing. People were kind of like, oh, the humor, it was too funny or whatever. I don't know. I don't buy that. I feel my concern was that there wasn't going to be humor. You know, there wasn't really a lot of humor in the prequels. And that was one of the things that I felt was missed in the prequels, is that the first Star Wars movies are a lot of fun. I mean, that's what this whole thing is. It's just fun. You know, it's just like a fun chase. You know, it's like I think these movies came out of inspiration, like the Indiana Jones movies, of just watching these old serial TV shows from the 1940s and 50s or whatever, cliffhanger shows or whatever, or Flash Gordon. I think that George Lucas was inspired by Flash Gordon. And you know, the first Star Wars movie, I mean, God, the first Star Wars movie, look at that. Now it looks like sheer perfection. It's like amazing that he was able to come up with that, the tone of it and the action sequences. And I've read about the making of the first Star Wars movie. It's pretty amazing, you know, that even late in the game that it seemed like it was going to be a big flop. I mean, George Lucas was looking at the dailies of, you know, the shots that were done, the scenes that were shot that day, and or even though it was they had a preview version of it that they were showing to people, and people were like, Jesus Christ, you know, like it wasn't seeming that good. And so it was, you know, it's like one of those things with the creative a creative work. That it's a miracle sometimes when everything comes together. And a lot of times it doesn't all come together. And with Star Wars, I think at the end, they finally had an editor or an editing team that worked on it. And finally, you know, were able to cut it together in just the right way. I think editors sometimes are the unsung heroes of movie making. And then, of course, John Williams' score. I don't know at what point that was laid on top of everything, but without John Williams' score, just imagine Star Wars movies without John Williams' score. It would be probably, yeah, not as grand, not so grandiose, or not so splendorific, whatever the word is. So anyway, even the first Star Wars movie, it was a miracle that it all came together, right? And where am I going here? What do I want to say next about this? I just went off on a little tangent. Okay, I think I've said enough. Okay, I was just talking about the things I liked about The Last Jedi. So the opening sequence, I thought that Rian Johnson got great performances out of the lead actors from, you know, the previous movies, from Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. I know Mark Hamill wasn't happy with the way that his character was portrayed, but he did a great job. You know, I thought his acting in the movie, I was really kind of like, I had a little bit of a cringe feeling going into it. Like, oh, I don't know, Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill, you know, he's not an Academy Award winning actor here. I mean, in the first movie, you know, you look at Star Wars, his acting is, I think it's something as Star Wars fans, like, you just kind of put up with. Luke's kind of whiny. It's kind of, I don't know, he's a little bit flat. I don't know. But it wasn't, maybe people would disagree with this, but I never thought that Mark Hamill was that great of an actor. So I was wondering about the movie, you know, this, obviously we lost Harrison Ford in the last movie, and I thought he was great in the last movie, actually beyond what I would have thought. But a movie where the lead actor from the originals was going to be Mark Hamill, I was kind of like, I wonder how that's going to be. But I thought that Rian Johnson, I think, you know, I'm going to credit him with this. I feel that he worked really well with the actors and brought out a good performance from Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. You know, so this was Carrie Fisher's last performance. Obviously, she's passed away, and a lot of people had some issues with her floating scene. It didn't bother me for whatever reason. It was kind of a short scene, and it's like, oh, she has force powers and she got herself back to the ship. But, it just didn't bother me that much. But I thought that her performance, I don't think that you could argue that she gave a great performance. And I think you can credit the director to a certain extent with that, because it's the director that brings out those performances. So I thought that they were great. I'm going to go on a little bit. I guess 25 minutes. Okay. The main characters from the new series. So we've got Rey, Finn, and Poe. I felt like the plot line with Poe and Finn, I would have liked to have seen them used in a better way. I really didn't like that Finn was sort of, it felt sort of sidelined. You know, I get it. You know, he couldn't have been with Rey because she's off training and so forth. You know, I'm really glad that he didn't die at the end, because a lot of people were saying like, oh, that would have been a perfect arc for him to have gone into this, that big gun thing, cannon thing that they had. Some people were saying, why did Rose do that? Blah, 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 blah. I don't care why Rose did it. I'm just glad that Finn is alive. I want to see Finn again in the next movie, and I want him to be more central, I guess, in the plot. And what else? I thought that Kylo, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. The Kylo Ren and Rey, that kind of dynamic. Some people had some issues with that, but like, what's going on there? Is it some sort of a romance? But I thought it was, you know, it was kind of a central thing to the movie, that was sort of like, they're coming together. They kind of, you know, basically Rey goes to that planet and she expects to get training from Luke. Instead, she gets nothing from Luke. She gets nothing about her parents. That was another thing people had issues with. But for me, I'm willing to go with it. I'm kind of, it's like, oh, that's interesting in a way. Interesting choice, instead of like, Ben Kenobi was your father or grandfather or something like that. Now I get what Rian Johnson's trying to do. He's trying to open up the Star Wars universe that, hey, the Force isn't about lineage. It's not about bloodline. It's about anybody potentially could have Force powers. I mean, I could extrapolate that into a whole nother talk about, hey, what about us? I'm not talking about like levitating things, but hey, let's use the Force. Like, we all have access to the Force in our own lives, right? Into our intuition or our, you know, our heart. You know, I think this is why we love Star Wars so much, is it's about the Force. It's about we all potential heroes in our, anyway, I could go on and on. So Rey and Kylo sort of come to this point where they're so unexpectedly, Rey has no one to turn to but Kylo Ren. And it's like, well, I kind of understand what you're going through there, Kylo. I'm kind of going through something similar here. And then that, you know, I thought this was a brilliant part of the movie, which was, and I didn't see it until I saw it again, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the movie. But the point at this is the thing. So everything that happens after Rey is dropped off, it's kind of funny that, oh, you just drop Rey off on at the big ship, and then Chewbacca takes off with the Millennium Falcon back into hyperspace. Oh, I'm out of here again. Everything that happens after Rey gets dropped off to me was just brilliant. Like so she gets dropped off on the big Snoke ship. And you know, Kylo takes her to the to Snoke, and that everything that happens there. Some people were mad about that, you know, that Snoke got killed. But you know, for me, it was like, now what's happening? And that whole battle that happened there. And again, people had some issues with that. You know, like, wait, isn't Kylo Ren is supposed to be more powerful than that? Why is he battling these guys? Shouldn't he be using his force powers and all this kind of stuff? So that's the problem, is like, once the suspension of disbelief is broken, then suddenly it's like you're seeing the strings that are hanging everywhere. You know, you see all the flaws. But for me, I just went with that. I love that battle. And then I kind of love that, you know, wait a second. So it's like they're, for a brief moment, they're on the same team. And it's like, oh my God, now what are they going to do if Kylo's a good guy? And then that battle ends, and then it's revealed, like, no, he's going to try to bring her to the dark side, and then she doesn't go. You know, I mean, some people were saying, oh, it'd be cool if Rey kind of went to the dark side, but I don't know. I think it was cool. You know, so they end up fighting over that lightsaber, and then meanwhile, Admiral Holdo gears up to do her Holdo maneuver, which some people have issues with because it kind of breaks. It's like, wait a second, if people could just do a light speed maneuver to decimate, you know, spaceships, then what the heck? But again, you know, you're either going to go with it or not. And then, you know, so there's three things that are happening there, and Rose and Finn are about to be, as somebody pointed out, like, God, they're about to be beheaded. You know, that would have been pretty brutal. So that's going on. And then Holdo does her maneuver, and then the lightsaber breaks apart at the same time. I don't know. It was like all these things coming together at this one moment. I thought that was pretty cool. Cool filmmaking. And what else? I thought everything that happened on the crate, is it crate, was cool. You know, okay, it looks like Hoth, and yes, there's AT-ATs, AT-AT, whatever, but he did something different with it, and there's some really cool looking sequences there. And overall, it's kind of like, okay, I can kind of see what he's doing there. I can kind of see what he's trying to do. So that's my mixed review of The Last Jedi. Like, overall, it's like, it's not a complete hit, but for me, it wasn't a complete flop or a complete failure. You could argue that, hey, the way that they're doing this is maybe not leading to the best result, like, for them. You could either say it's bold or kind of foolish or random that they would kind of make the first movie and then kind of set all these things up, like, oh, these little mysteries, you know, J.J. Abrams' mystery box, Lawrence Kasdan too, you know, kind of like planting all these little seeds. And then they're just going to hand it over to this guy and say, do what you want, you know, to have not sort of an arc for the trilogy. Some people have argued, hey, that's just a kind of a misbegotten way to do this. So that's fair enough. Maybe they could have done it differently, but here we are. Okay, so all of that said, what is there anything else I want to say? I was also listening to some. I for some reason I'm just obsessed with this topic about The Last Jedi. I was obsessed. You know, the day after I saw it the first time, I was obsessively looking at, oh, good, there's a lot of other people that hated this. and digging into that. And then I went back and watched it and started to like it again, like it better. And yet I've still just been watching and listening to podcasts about The Last Jedi. And I think there's a lot of people that are kind of obsessed with it for some reason. It's a movie. It's not like the prequel. I don't think there's a lot of prequel defenders out there who are like, no, the prequels are awesome. You got to just understand the prequels. I think most people look at the prequels and go, okay, those were bad movies, or that there was just off, you know. But with this one, there's a lot of people. I mean, it got 90%+ from the critics. And initially I was like, what are they thinking? And then it's got a 49% or something from the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. And then some people are saying, oh, that, you know, maybe that is bots that are kind of deflating that, you know, that number. It doesn't really matter to me, but it's just interesting that there's such strong opinions about this movie. A lot of people really liked it. There's some people that are like, this is the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen. And then there's some people who are like, I can't believe this movie. I want it taken out of canon or whatever. that whole thing is just, that's beyond me. I mean, I grew up with Star Wars. I love Star Wars, but this whole, you know, I'm not that familiar with the greater universe of Star Wars and all the other books and all that other stuff. So, okay. So I guess I want to move on to what I want to end on this thought. After saying everything I've said about The Last Jedi and my feelings about it, other people's feelings about it, here's what I mainly want to say. If you didn't like The Last Jedi, here's what I recommend that you do. And I'm not saying this in a flippant way, like you shouldn't feel that way or get over it. I recommend that you go out and make your own Star Wars movie or create something. Go out and create something. What are you good at creating? And if you went to that movie and you were really expecting something and it didn't work out the way you had planned, and you're just like, oh my God, I'm done with Star Wars, and you're investing a lot of energy into critiquing the movie and ripping it apart and just posting about all the flaws of it and how you want the whole series to come down, and Kathleen Kennedy, how could she have done this to, you know, she's the executive producer, how could she have done this to Star Wars and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you could argue that maybe posting about all this is a creative act, but I mean, go out and create something of your own. Because we can't always depend on other people to do things the way we want them to. It's like when we go to a football game and we have everything. I mean, it's not that we shouldn't root for our home team or something. But I see this, like, people just root for the Seahawks. I'm from Seattle, so people are rooting for the Seahawks. Yeah, and they get really creative. Some people get, you know, put on these really outlandish costumes and everything. But everything's invested in how these other people are going to do. And if they do well, then they're heroes. And if they don't, as they were in Seattle 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when the, 2013, 5 years ago, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. But guess what? The Seahawks are not that great now. And so now people are like, oh, geez. You know, so they're not, you know, people aren't always going to deliver. And when we put all of our, if we invest everything in something outside of ourselves, then we're bound to get disappointed at some point. And here's the main thing is this. Like, we shouldn't be just passive observers in our lives. Just waiting for the big blockbuster movie to satisfy all our needs. It's not going to satisfy all our needs. And as a matter of fact, you know, you're probably really upset about, if you're upset about The Last Jedi, it's probably like, well, I could make a better movie than that. Here's how I would have done it. Well, write it down. Write it down, like how you would have done it. Or even better than that, make up your own universe. Like, Star Wars is just one man's a brilliant idea. You know, he just came up with, you know how Star Wars started? It started like every movie, every blockbuster movie starts. It starts with a blank piece of paper. And I was going to say a pen, but it could be a, you know, it could be a computer. But it starts with a blank piece of paper, right? A blank slate. And, you know, one of the problems here is that people are reviving this thing that is like, it's an old idea, right? Star Wars. Like, oh, we want to see that old, we want to remember what that was like and let's live in that world some more. And that's fine. That's great. But let's not let that stop us from creating our own worlds or our own whatevers, you know, let's be creators. Let's not be critics because, that's what I'm trying to get at here. As much as I enjoy kind of talking about this stuff myself is, you know, I've been a critic in my life. You know, I've enjoyed throughout my life kind of, you know, watching movies and going, oh, I wouldn't have done it that way. Or, oh, I didn't feel it. I could go into a whole thing about The Shape of Water, this movie that may go on to win Best Picture. I just didn't like The Shape of Water. You know, I won't even go into it, but, guess what? Good for Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro made that movie. And if there's flaws in the movie to me, then that's my, you know, that's my take on it. But let me move on to creating my own thing. So even if I don't like something, I can still take things. I was like, oh, I like this element of this. Or even with The Last Jedi, oh, I like what they did there. And that's inspiring me to, you know, do my own thing. I'm gonna end by reading a quote that you may have heard, but I try to keep in mind about when I start to hear a lot of stuff like this about, oh, criticizing this entity for, oh, they didn't come through. Like, okay, we just had the Super Bowl. Oh, Justin Timberlake, his halftime show. You couldn't even hear him, you know, like that's true. Yeah, that's fine. But hey, at least he gave it a go, right? He was out there doing it. And, oh, Rian Johnson with The Last Jedi, you know, oh, he did this. He didn't get this about Star Wars. You know what, though? Guess what? He made The Last Jedi. What an amazing feat. He made a Star Wars movie. Imagine even trying to do that. Like somebody hands you the keys to the Star Wars franchise and says, go ahead and write it and direct it. I mean, you go ahead and try to do that and see what you come up with. Seriously, like... go ahead and try to write the what would have been The Last Jedi if you had gotten the keys to the kingdom instead of Rian Johnson. Or what else? The Seahawks. Oh, they're not doing that well this year. Well, you know, they need to, I've been doing this one. They need another, Marshawn Lynch, you know, or they need another running back. What's going on with them? You know, like, well, why don't you go ahead and go down there and try to run a football team? So I try to keep that in mind for myself. And I don't mean to be like, pointing fingers at you if you've been kind of criticizing things, but let's try to move from criticizing to creating. So here's what Teddy Roosevelt said, the man in the arena. So let's keep this in mind. You may have heard this already. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. Okay, we could, you know, strong person stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Man, that is a powerful quote. And I hadn't actually, I just pulled that up because I knew I was going to read it for this. But that even ties into the theme that Rian Johnson was trying to get at in The Last Jedi, which is failure. Like Yoda actually talks about failure is the greatest teacher. And what happens throughout the whole movie? Failure, failure, failure. Like Rey goes to she fails to get training. She fails to get Kylo Ren to come to the light side. The missions fail and all that. Anyway, so but the point is, like, I would argue that even if you think that Rian Johnson failed in a movie where he talks about failure, then at least he was daring greatly. At least he was daring greatly. A lot of people love the movie because, hey, he tried to do something different, you know? And so I would just leave it with that. Like, are you up in the stands? Are you up in the nosebleed section throwing popcorn down on the people that are in on the field? Or are you in the arena? Are you in the arena doing your thing? I'm trying to be more and more in the arena and less in the stands. So I guess I'm going to leave it at that. This ended up not being a short episode, but those are my feelings about that. Feel free to send any thoughts you have to just go to the contact page. I'll leave the link in the show notes to the contact page at hellyeslife.com. And let me know what you think about all this. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes life.